Right?
Yeah. Okay. So what is the pasuk about the battle against the God against Amalek? V'chein v'omer, as the pasuk says, of course it's in the end of Parsha B'Shalach, it says over there, ki yod al keisyo, that God has placed his hand upon his throne. And of course, what does he say? Milchamo la Hashem ba'Amalek, that there will be war against Amalek bedor dor, from generation to generation. In other words, in every generation we have to fight against Amalek and his anti-Semitism, and it is a battle that we're fighting on behalf of God. V'yamisna say, and God is extolled, zu milchemes Gog and Magog. This is the war of Gog and Magog. V'cheinu omer, and so the pasuk says in Cheskel over there, in the Nielech of Gog, Nesi Rosh Meshach V'Suvol, right? God says, I am going to turn my attention to you, O Gog, you who are the prince, the head of Meshech and Tubal. All right. Now, of course, this is a very difficult passage in the book of Yechezkel, but to this very day, we speak about what? The war of Gog and Magog. Okay? Which means sort of like the final battle that will take place before the coming of the Mashiach. That the forces of evil will gang up and try to destroy us, and then God eventually will save us from the hands of Gog and Magog, and then it will be followed by the days of the Messiah coming. There have been various attempts, you know, made to try to identify who in our own day is Gog and Magog. I don't have to tell you. Some saw it as the Germans, but that, after all, is Amalek. So what is the Gog and Magog? This was the Russian Empire, the Soviet Union, and so on.
I think in some, yeah. I think in heraldry, Gog and Magog are part of the symbolism of London.
Very nice.
London.
Yeah. Why they should be so enamored of it, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe you remember that from Peter, I think.
They're also a shine, no?
Right. Times they behave.
This is Rabbi, who's quoting all this now?
This is Rabbi Shila is expounding upon the meaning of the Kodesh Shemagul.
Yeah, the one,
before,
the pasuk that he used.
Right. The same pasuk that he used in order to show how much he loves and admires the government and its sense of justice. So now he says, since a miracle has taken place, then let me explain it my way now, to his own students, obviously, not to the Roman government.
Obviously.
Okay. Yeah. L'chol Rosh, of course, that's the ending, right? V'hamistaseh l'chol Rosh, remember, right? And to all. So it says, Omer Rav Chanan Bar Abba, Omer Rav Yochanan. So Rav Chanan Bar Abba said the name Rav Yochanan, and it says, Afilu Reish Gar Giso, Min Shamayim Manulei. It's very interesting. They say that even somebody who's put in charge of, let's say, the water system, the Rosh Kagisa, is the guy who's in charge of irrigation or something like that. In other words, like the meter reader or the guy who distributes water and things like that.
He may open
because
the gates.
They were talking, right, opens the gates in order to allow water, right, to go to the farmlands and so on. It says even such an official, which is not the highest official in the realm, right? It's even not, in other words, even the lowliest official is eventually appointed to that job because of God. Yeah, that's what he's saying. Min Shamayim Monilo, right? In other words, he has been appointed from heaven. God himself has appointed him to that position. B'masni Satana Mishmeni Rabbi Akiva, in a teaching. Masnisa could mean either a Mishnah or it could also be in Baraisa. Here it's probably it's Baraisa. Okay? So there they quote in the name of Rabbi Akiva that he gives another interpretation of the Chod Hashem HaGdula. He says, the Chod Hashem HaGdula, this is Zukriyas Yamsuf, this is referring to the splitting of the Red Sea. Right? The Hagavura, what is the Gavura refer to? It says Zu Makas Bechoros, right? In other words, the plague of the killing of the firstborn, the Hatiferes, the glory, Zumatan Torah, giving the Torah to us, the Hanetzach, and either the victory or the eternity, whichever way you want to translate it, Zu Yerushalayim, this is that God gave us Jerusalem, the Hahod, and the beauty or the glory, this is Zubes HaMikdash. So instead of referring it, you know, to battles against Amalek and everything else, Rabbi Akiva referred it to great events in the past from the time that the people of Israel achieved the exodus from Egypt through the giving of the Torah and then through the coming to Eretz Israel building the base of Hamikdash and Yerushalayim. Okay. Tana Rabbana. Now we have in reference to a new bracha. Okay? And the Gemara says over here, Haroya Bota Yisrael B'Yishuvan, if you see the houses of Israel that they are built or rebuilt, if you wish, Omer, you are to make the following bracha. Baruch Matziv Gibul Almona. Blessed be God who restores the boundary of the widow, literally. Okay? So, the question is, first of all, who are we referring to? Take a look at the Rashi up on top. It says, Kegon B'Yishu B'Yisheni. It says, for example, in the rebuilding of Eretz Yisrael that took place in the time of the Second Temple. But the question is, what is the relationship between that and Almona? So we have to understand that the Almona that he's referring to over here is probably right. It's Zion.
Zion.
Right. Because we have a reference again in Yeshayahu that, her children, she's not to be considered a widow anymore, but rather she is like a married woman and her children will be turned to her midst and so on. So that this is the reference that he's talking about. And therefore we have this bracha, Baruch Matziv Gibul Almona. Bechor Banon, what if on the other hand you see the houses in Eretz Yisrael that are destroyed? Then Omer, then you have to make the bracha, Baruch Dayan Ha'emes, right? Blessed be God who is the righteous judge. Okay, which of course we normally say, whenever you have, sorrow, distress, right? Become an ovil. That's the bracha that you make. What if you see the houses of the idolaters that they are built? And of course, again, obviously, it's in reference primarily to Eretz Yisrael, right? So, Omer, you are to say the following pasuk. This is not a bracha, but it's a pasuk. Pasuk is Beis Kayim Yisachar Hashem, that the house of the haughty may God sweep away. Okay? Bechor Banon, what if on the other hand he sees that they have been destroyed? Then Omer, then he should say the following pasuk: Hail Nekomas Hashem, Hail Nekomas Sefiyah. God of vengeance, O Lord, God of vengeance, appear. Ulam Rav Chisto, now is the story about Ulam Rav Chisto. Habakaz de Buucha, they were walking by the way. Kimoto Apisva de Berav Chona Bar Chanilai, when they came to the house, or they passed by the house of Rav Chona Bar Chanilai, the god Rav Chisto the Isna. Then Rav Chisto suddenly began moaning. So, saying, Oy vey, oy vey. Omele Ulo. So Ulo said to him, Amaikom is nachas. So he says, tell me, why are you moaning and groaning so? The Omar Rav, didn't Rav say, Anocha Shavez Chatzi Gufa Shalodom, that if your sigh, it breaks half of your body? In other words, it makes you feel so terribly depressed that you feel, you feel uchi all over, right? Shenema. As the pasuk says in reference to Yechezkel, it's written over there, V'yato ben Adam, and you, O son of man, Eyonech b'shiva mosnayim, sigh with the breaking, literally, of your hips. In other words, sigh to the effect that it affects you physically. So, why did you sigh this way, when you pass by the door of, Rav Chona Bar Chanilai? For Rabbi Yochanan, Omar Kol Gufa Shalodom, and Rabbi Yochanan says not half of the body, it says, Chatzi, right? Chatzi Gufa. Rabbi Yochanan says it's even worse. He says, Af Kol Gufa Shalodom. As a matter of fact, it destroys a person's body altogether. Shenevar, as the Pasuk says again, this is in Yechezkel. It says, Vahoyoki Amru Alecha, Alma Atone Enach, that if people say to you, why are you sighing so? The Omarto, then you should say, El Shmua Kibot. I'm sighing because of the terrible report that I have heard. Okay? Vinomas Kolev, and every heart will simply melt away. In other words, the sigh is so so terrible because of the evil report that I have heard that my entire heart simply like it melts away. So therefore that proves it. Now of course the question in Yechezkel is, what was the Shmua that we heard? What did he hear? The answer is he heard about the fact that the Beis HaMikdash at Yerushalayim was being destroyed by the Babylonians, and that the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. It was for this, you know, that he felt, you know, he sobbed with his whole heart, and he felt as though his whole heart was melting away.
Talking about Yechezkel.
Talking about Yechezkel, right. So the question is only, you know, does a sigh of this type, you know, destroy only half of your body, or the entire, does it depress you completely, or it depresses you at least, you know, to a considerable extent?
Why did Rav Chana do this?
Okay,
like that?
So why did he do it? Because he went by this house and he saw that the house was in ruins. So this is the reason why, okay? So that the house was ruined. And he thought back to what a great personality lived over there, a great rabbi, a great teacher, and he sees that this house is destroyed. Again, you see, it's in line with the idea that if you see Bot Yisrael Churbanon, right, houses of Israel, in other words, Jews, Jewish homes that have been destroyed, then you should feel sorrow for them. Okay? Omalei, Heichi lo yesnach, he says, how is it, and here he explains exactly the point that I'm making. How can I not sigh, he says. Beso, here is a house, the Abubo Shisin of Yosef, Yemomo Shisin of Yosef Elayla. Right? Says, in this house, obviously it was a beautiful house, which was now destroyed. Okay? He says, you know, in this house there used to be 60 bakers of Yosef. You know, the word ofen, Hebrew means a baker. There used to be 60 bakers by day, and 60 bakers by night. The Yafyon, the Cholmandit Soria, and they would bake for whoever was in need. Velo shokal yodo min kisa. And furthermore, Rav Chanabar Chanilai never took his hand out of his purse, the sovar, because he thought, Dilma osi oni bartovim. Maybe a poor man will come who, you know, was well off beforehand. Bartovim means literally, you know, like he lived, you know, under comfortable circumstances previously, okay?
Yeah, but he had lost
his
fortune.
And he lost his fortune, so he's ready to hand the money, you know, to help him, right? The Adamotule Lekisa Kumasif, and if I first have to go hunting for my purse, this man will be embarrassed. And, you know, he'll feel shame because of his embarrassments like this. He had it ready at all moments, right? And, of course, you know, food was always available to whoever needed it. Besides, Hava Pesich Le'arba Bobe Le'arba Ruchaso de Almo. He had four doors opening to the four different directions of the world. In other words, one to the east, one to the north, one to the south, one to the west. Of course, it reminds us of the story about Abraham Avinu,
right.
Likewise, okay? But he actually did it. He had this beautiful home, and there was an entrance on each side. The Cholda Haba Ayil Kafin Nafi Kisavea. And whoever came in, Kafin is hung, you know, like we say, called Dichvin Yetzev Yivsa, right? We say, whoever is hungry, let him come and celebrate Pesach with us. We say that in the Halach at the beginning of the Seder. Yeah. So whoever was hungry, Nothik Hisavea would go out, you know, fully satisfied. And not only that, but he had the custom that in time of Batsoris means that there wasn't enough rain, there was famine in the land. So when it was a year of famine, he would throw outside of his house, he would throw wheat and oats, barley, right? The cholman dechsifa milsa the mishkal biyamama osu bishaka b'leila, so that anyone who was too embarrassed to come and to help himself to these grains during the day could come and help himself at night. And hashto nopal, right? And now this house has fallen, betala. it's become like a tell, you know what a tell is?
Ruined.
It's ruined, right? Below Esnach, and should I not sigh as a result? That's why I feel so terrible. So Omar Lay, so he said to him, Ochi Omar Rav Yochanan. This is what Rav Yochanan said. Rav Yochanan said, B'yom Shekora Beis HaMikdash. From the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nigzerog Gezerah Otehen Shel Tzadikim Shekor. A Gezerah, divine decree, was passed concerning the homes of the righteous that they should be destroyed. They should become ruined. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, it says, Be Oznai, in my ears I heard Hashem Tzvavos, that the Lord of hosts says, Imlo Botim Ravim Neshamo Yiyu, that many houses will become wasted away, Gedolim Metovim Yen Yoshev, and houses which were great and beautiful will be left without people living in them. So that this is a gezeirah. This is a decree of the Rabbeinu Shalom, in order to impress upon us how much we suffer with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that our homes can never become really houses. That the time will come that no matter how great and how luxurious they are, but they will suffer this fate. Yom Rav Yochanan, and furthermore, Rav Yochanan said, "Osid Hakadosh Baruch Hu la'chzir liyishuv." The day will come when the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will once more restore them, and they will be once more what they were. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, "Shir Hamalos the David," a song of ascents, of King David. Habotchim Badishem Keharzion, that those who have faith in God are like Mount Zion. Mahar Tzion, even as Mount Zion, Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Hachzir Oli Yeshuvo, the day will come when the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will once more restore it to being a place of habitation. So, Afotehen Shel Tzadikim, so likewise, the homes of the righteous, Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Hachzir Oli Yeshuvo, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will also someday restore them once more, that they will be dwelt in again. Chazlei d'Yamiyashu Dati. But he saw that he was still very troubled and was not happy. So Amalo, so he said to him, Dayo li Eved Sheyehe Kerabo. It's enough that a servant should be like his master. In other words, if the Rabbeinu Shel Olam feels that the day will come yet when he will restore Mount Zion, don't weep more than Rabbeinu Shel Olam. It's enough that you weep as much as he, but not more. Don't try to be, as they say, more Catholic than the Pope or something like that. Rabbeinu Shel Olam is our master, and we should emulate him, but not try to surpass him, not to show that we're greater than he is. Yes?
What country were Rav Pista and Gula?
Okay. The answer is that they were living in Eretz Israel and Babylon. They go back and forth, And this would be roughly about the 3rd century, approximately.
So, the house of this generous man,
Chana Bar Chanilai.
Right. If this was an Eretz Israel?
I would think so. Yeah. The implications seem to be that they're not talking about in Babylonia, but they're talking really about an Eretz Israel.
The implication not to sigh too much, is that also an implication you're not supposed to mourn, not to sort of cry too much when a loved one
passes? Yeah, you're right, Irv. This is one of the things. That we have to observe the laws of mourning, but not to mourn excessively, because we have to accept, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's decrees. Look, we all go through terrible times. When we lose those who are loving and precious things. My son-in-law had a run suddenly to Montreal because his mother is dying of cancer. He called me last night to say that, she's still sort of holding on, but she's sinking. But it's a terrible thing, but what can you do? You have to resign yourself that she's on Rabbeinu Shel Olam's hands.
That's God's will.
Right. Doesn't mean that we're happy about it.
No, of course not.
it's one of these things that, you know, and we should know more and more than the Rebbeinu Shlomo.
Yeah. Sure, cancer.
Yeah.
You know, great discoveries in the whole world.
Yep.
This is why, for example, I mean, we have certain definite time periods. You know, Shiva, Shloshim, and then in the case of, you know, parents, an additional thing that we take upon ourselves to refrain from entertainment and things of that sort, you know, for 12 months and so on. But beyond that, we shouldn't more than that. That's it. I mean, of course we think about it. I still think about my father and my mother to this day, and I'm sure all of you do. No question about that. But we have to live our lives.
It would seem to me that excessive mourning would be like questioning the word of the Lord.
Yeah,
God.
That's true. It's a very good point you're making, Gerd. Tana Rabba. Our sages thought as follows. Haroa Kibra Yisrael, if somebody sees Jewish graves, Omer, then he should say the following bracha, and incidentally to this very day. If you haven't been to the cemetery in 30 days, then you should make this bracha when you come to the cemetery.
Oh.
Yeah. And the bracha is Baruch, of course it means Baruch HaTor Hashem Elokim Melech Olam, right? Asher Yotzar Eschem Badin, who has created you in judgment, V'zon Eschem Badin, and who nourished you in judgment, V'chilkel Eschem Badin, and he provided for all your needs in judgment, V'yosaf Eschem Badin, and he has gathered you unto him in judgment. The osid lahakim chem badin, and the day will come when he will cause you to rise up once more in judgment. This, of course, is a reference to the Techiyas HaNesim. Now, the version that we say is slightly different, but nevertheless, it's based upon this. It should be in a complete siddur. I'm sure that we'll find it, for example, in the Yad Skol siddur. But I'm looking to see.
Would it be in one of the old Siddurim?
No. It's possible that maybe over here, but I don't think so. I know where it is. See, I have an old English paper. Otherwise, I'll get the answer to what it
The Art Scroll is at the FEMA?
Yeah. The big one over there. It's not on the Bima, but it's the one that's on the stender over there. That's the Yacht School. Yeah, it's a good thing. Well, I remember now why. Because I gave it to somebody who wanted to know what I'm doing. I said, okay. In the Art Scroll, of course, towards the back, you have, you know, a section devoted to.
Is it right off the bench here?
No, they have a section over here about, you know, when people pass away and what do you say, what do you learn in their memory, and so on. Well, it's easier to find it in the index. Okay, yeah. Section begins on 796, first of all with confession. Be doing. And then after that, here it is. All right. Those who have not seen a cemetery for 30 days, recite the following blessing when they come there. Baruch HaTor Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Yotzar Eschem Adin, right? V'zon Lechilkel Eschem Adin, Tzachis Behav. But then, as I said, the wording is a little bit different. The Hemis Eschem Adin, in other words, he caused you to die in judgment. The Yodea Mispar Kulchem Adin, and he knows, how great is your number in his judgment. The Hu Osilach Hayotzchem, V'lekayim Eschem Adin, and he will in the future restore you to life and resuscitate you in his judgment. Okay, and then we say Ato Gibor Oktuvenem on Atolach Yos Kesim.
What is there?
That's 796 over here.
What is the actual translation saying?
Blessed are you, Hashem, O God, King of the universe, who fashioned you with justice, nourished and sustained you with justice, took your lives with justice, knows the sum total of you all with justice, and will restore and resuscitate you with judgment. Blessed are you, Hashem, who resuscitates the dead.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then, as I say, we continue with Atogi Bor Le'olam Hashem, up to Ne'emun Atolach Yos Meisim, because that deals with the same theme. Okay?
I have to remember that.
Yeah. Okay, so now to continue. Yes. Yes, so it says, all right, Mar Bereda Ravino, Mar the son of Ravino, Messiah Bo Bishmeda Rav Nachman, so in the name of Rav Nachman, he concluded the bracha as follows, and this is what has been added over here, the Yodea Mispar Kulchem, right? Except that we said the Yodea Mispar Kulchem Adin, if you compare it to the Siddur, right? Who was Hilacha Yoschem, Lekayem Eschem, right? Baruch Mechayeh HaMesim, Baruch Atot Shem Mechayeh HaMesim, okay? All right, now, Kivrei Ovdei Gechavim, what if you pass by cemeteries where the idolaters are buried? So Omer, so he says a Pasuk, and the Pasuk is from Jeremiah, which says, Boshe Imchem, may your mother be ashamed that, you know, of what you did while you were alive. Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, O roe eschave ro, liyacha shloshim yom, if you see your friend after 30 days, in other words, you haven't seen him for 30 days, and after 30 days you meet him again, Omer, so he says the following bracha, Baruch shehechiyonu v'kiyimonu v'kiyonu lazman hazeh. None of us are aware of the fact that shehechiyonu is prescribed over here for this particular case, okay?
Is that the custom?
The average person isn't aware of it, but there are other things to say. Okay, however, we'll also take a look at the Tosfos over here. Okay, there's a little tiny Tosfos
on top, you see.
All right, so Mary, so Mary says, Davke chaverech odivanov, right? We're talking only about your most beloved friend, Avol be'inyan acher lo. But, you know, just ordinary friends, you know, make this problem. Otherwise, you'd be saying Shechiyonu every single day.
No, you can't see him every... if you haven't seen him in 30
days...
No,
anybody, right?
We have a lot of friends here.
You know who your friends are when you get a Shechiyonu, huh?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Why? You don't even...
Well, you don't consider me a good friend.
Yeah. Now, Achar Yud Beis Chodesh, what if you see your friend after 12 months have passed, in other words, haven't seen him a whole year, then what bracha do you say? You say, Boruch Ato Hashem Mechayeh HaMesim. Right? Mechayeh HaMelech Mechayeh HaMesim. Blessed be God who has restored the dead to life again.
Oh my God. That's a
kind
of morbid thought.
Who's worried? Who knows, right? Okay.
She's supposed to say that to friends who you've seen in less than 30 days.
Right, right. Omer Rav, and here's a famous statement. Rav said, "Ein hames mishtakach min halev, elo yachas shnei masachedish." The dead is not forgotten from the heart until after 12 months. Because, why did they quote it over here? They quote it over here because of the fact that it says after 12 months, you should say Baruch Atah Mechaye Hamesim, right? So that therefore would mean that if I see you after more than a year has passed and we haven't seen each other, so I thank God, you know, that you're still alive and well. That's the reason why, because after 12 months if you don't see each other, then the dead are forgotten. Okay, after 12 months then the dead is forgotten from the heart. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, and this is a Pasuk in Tehillim, it says Nishkachti Kemeis, I have been forgotten even as one who is dead. Melev, I've been forgotten from the heart. In other words, I'm no longer remembered, even as a dead person. Or Yisi, I have become Kichli Oved, like a vessel, literally, which perishes. Okay? Kichli Oved. Now, coming back to this business about, you know, that the dead are forgotten after 12 months. This is the basic reason why, for example, some people have the custom that they wait with putting up a matzeva until after a year has passed. I'm not saying that it's necessarily accepted by everybody. It isn't. It's, I'll show you in a moment. Okay, but it's on that basis that many people have the custom in Europe and even in this country from time to time not to dedicate a stone until after 12 months have passed, because they want to keep the memory alive. And this way they're showing it that even though it says that the dead are forgotten after 12 months, right? So that they will not be forgotten. As I said, there are other opinions as to that. Yes, David.
Right. Just following that, some of the Tamilis that are here from Israel had conversation with them, and they were astonished at our custom, which is to put up a headstone within the years at some point in time. They were, I wouldn't exactly say horrified by it, but very greatly shocked.
Uh-huh.
They said, but the year has to be.
Right, here. Right. Well, that's the basis for their opinion. But I want to tell you that right now, it's not really a din, you see. This is not a halacha. This is a statement, you know, which many people honor, right? So it's the basis of a custom, okay? But not only in this country are there many who don't necessarily abide by this. They'll put up a stone earlier, they'll dedicate a stone. But you know, David, what surprises me is about what you said about the Tamanim. Because in Eretz Yisrael, most people put up a stone almost immediately, and to Shloshim, that's when they go out and they dedicate the stone at that particular point. They go, they say Tillim, say a Kaddish, and so on, a Hesped, whatever it may be, and that's the dedication of the stone. So they don't wait over there, most people.
Is there a basis for that?
Yeah.
Is there a basis for their doing and what they're doing?
Well, the din is that it has to be at least a month. It should be.
So between Shiva and Shloshim is a month?
No, it isn't.
No.
Shiva and Shloshim start simultaneously from the time that the body has been laid in the ground, right? And then mourning begins, okay. Now, of course, you know, you have to observe some act of mourning in order for that day to count as a day. Sit on the ground, take off your shoes, whatever it may be, or come home and you know, observe you know, that you remove your shoes, you have the mourning meal, whatever it may be, okay? So as long as you observe something on the day of the Leviah, so that counts already as a day. So you begin counting from that day. All right, so you count 7 days, and the seventh day is the end of Shiva. And of course we have a rule that says Mikzas Hayom Kekulayom, which means that part of the day counts already as if it were a complete day. This is true as far as mourning is concerned. It's not true as far as some other things are concerned, okay? But as far as laws of mourning are concerned, then we observe that. So that, therefore, that's the end of Shiva. But that means that you've already observed 7 days in the Shloshim period as well. You understand? So in other words, following that, you still have another 23 days to go. And of course, again, the same rule applies on the 30th day, that Mikzas Hayom Kekul Hayom, that the morning of Shloshim ends on the morning of the 30th day. Right. Part of the day counts already as a complete day. So that's as far as Shiva and Shloshim are concerned. Now, of course, you have other dinim, you know, that come into play. As for example, if there is a Yontif that intervenes, of course, by Yontov I mean only the major holidays. I don't mean
Purim,
right? Shavuos, Pesach, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, right? Sukkot, and then there are a lot of other dinim. I mean, Avelis, you know, has many aspects.
And then the Shloshim is postponed till after the Yontov.
No, that depends upon what the story is.
Well, what if it's Pesach and you got 8 days of Pesach?
And then in that case, not only Shloshim is postponed, Shiva is also postponed. You have to begin sitting Shiva after Yontov comes to an end. Not allowed to sit Shiva in Yontov. Yeah, so these are all problems.
What if the holiday comes during the Shloshim period?
Okay, if holiday comes during Shloshim, or even it comes during Shiva, if it comes during Shiva, then in that particular case, it cancels out the rest of Shiva. doesn't cancel out Shloshim, but you get credit for days, okay? And you don't have to observe as long, because they give you credit for Yom Tovim days and things like that. They count towards the count of 30.
Okay.
If you are finished with Shiva, and you've started, you know, in the Shloshim period, by starting, I mean, you know, the days after the Shiva is over, then if Yom Tov occurs, then that cancels out Shloshim altogether. Yeah, this is what the Rambam means. But if the burial takes place on Yom Tov or Chol HaMoed or whatever it may be, then you have to postpone Shiva and Shloshim until after Yom Tov altogether.
You don't bury anybody on Yom Tov?
Well, on Yom Tov itself you don't, unless it were a dire emergency.
Yeah.
In that case, it's a question whether it should be done by Goyim or not and things like that. But on Chol HaMoed definitely burials will take place. Yeah. But Shiva and Shloshim you don't observe until after the Yom Tov is over. Yeah. So it's a difficult thing. Look, Anne's father passed away during Pesach. That year Pesach was Thursday and Friday, and then he died Friday night, which was the beginning of Chol HaMoed. So the funeral of course was on Sunday, but the family could not sit Shiva until Yom Tov was over.
Yeah, prolongs the
it does, money, it prolongs, no question about that. Yeah, because here it's Yom Tov, and you know, how do you feel Yom Tov, Dick? Although you're supposed to, you know,
rejoice
to feel Yom Tov,
yeah.
Dick, right? When you know that such a terrible thing has happened.
Right.
Azekaitis, yeah. Okay. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Berei, Rav Yehoshua. Alright, Rav Papa and Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yehoshua, happened to be walking on the way. Pogu bei b'Rav Chanina b'Rei d'Rav Ikon. So they happened to meet Rav Chanina, the son of Rav Ikon. Omrulei, so they said to him, Bahade d'chazinoch b'rechinen aloch tarte. He says, because we have seen you, we have recited two brachas, because we have seen you. First of all, Baruch Asher cholak bechachmasa lireyov, right? That, remember, we learned before on the previous page that this is the bracha that you say when you see a great scholar.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, blessed be God who has granted of his wisdom to those who fear him. That's the first bracha. V'sheachiyonu, and the second bracha, you know, v'sheachiyonu.
Mm-hmm.
So amalahu, so he said to them, Anu nami, I too came in the chazin tichu. It says, the fact that I saw you, so immediately it occurred to me that it was as if I was coming across the 60 myriads, you know, in other words, the 600,000 of the house of Israel, and I made a bracha concerning you. I made three brachas for you. Hanach Tarte, first of all, these two brachas that you mentioned, because you're also a scholar, and so, you know, you are also scholars, right? So I made the bracha Sheh Chalak B'chach Masal Rayov and Sheh Chiyonu, and then I made another one, Varuch Chacham Harazim. Remember, we learned last week that this is the bracha that you say if you see Uchlusa, a multitude of Jews. You say, blessed be God who is Chacham Harazim, the one who understands the secrets of human beings. So Amrulei, so they said to him, Hakima Skulei Hai, are you so wise, you know, that you decide, in other words, that you should compare us to the 600,000, that you should make this bracha? We're not like that. So Yahweh Bein Ayahu Vishochim. So they gave him a dirty look, and eventually he died as a result of it. Because they felt that he was too presumptuous in saying, oh, I compare you to the 600,000 of Israel. They felt already he was being too smart, too presumptuous.
Mm.
This is what it is.
Terrible punishment.
Yeah. The Zomintot. Yeah. All right, let's just finish with the Rashis to this particular place, and then we shall continue next week, because next week we continue with other brachas, the brachas that you make when you see lightning, thunder, etc., etc. Okay, so that's the next thing that we have. All right, but let's take a look at the Rashi and close with that. Yeah. The first part dealt with the story, you know, that they passed by the house of Rav Chana write, and they saw that it was a rune, Rav Chana Baruch Hanilai, and I already explained Baruch Matzah Gevul Amono, the reason for that bracha that they make. So Amayikum is Nachas, why are you saying? So he says, no palayat matil, I see that this house has fallen into ruins, right? No palov and has a tell. It fell and it's become a tell. So they said, if you remember, Dayola Yevet Sheyeheke Rabo. In other words, it's enough that we should emulate the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and not try to be even better. Sharei Beis HaMikdash Chorev, look, our temple is destroyed, Shehu Beis Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam still hasn't repaired it. So why should we do more so than he? Okay? Kichli Oyvei, you know, King David said, I am like a vessel that is that perishes. Ustam Kli, and an ordinary Kli, La'acha Yud Beis Chedish Mishtakach Bin Halev. It is forgotten. The people forget about it. Why? So here we come into an interesting din. And this din is called Yeyush. Yeyush means that you own something, okay, and you lose it. It's gone. How should you react? So we have the question about until what point do you hope that you'll be able to recover it? This is what is known as Yeyush, okay? There are those who say, you know, that the Yeyush begins immediately for certain things, you know, that have no special mark of identification, for example. Okay? For example, if you dropped a dollar bill or something like that, the chances of you getting it back are quite slim. What would happen if you discovered that you dropped it and you're going to go back for it or something like that? You know? So you say, no, oy vai, I lost the dollar bill, but you're not going to run back to do it if you're, let's say, you've gone on a mile or two or something. So that's yeyush. Whoever finds it in that case is, you know, it's finders keepers, okay? But let's say this thing has its own definite marks of identification. It doesn't resemble anything else. It's separate. It's special. How long after you've lost it do you still hope to be able to recover it? Okay? So the answer is that yeyush ba'olim, in other words, the despair of the owner of the property stops la'acha yud beis chedesh. It stops after 12 months have passed. And this we find in Gemara Neila Metzias and Bava Metzia, that Misha Motza Kli, Ashum Metzia, that if anybody has found a vessel or anything that he finds, Chayav Hachriz, he is required to make a public announcement that he has found something. Of course, it has to be identified, right? Sholosh Regalim, you have to make this public announcement on the Sholosh Regalim. Why? Because people used to go to Yerushalayim from everywhere. And so you would say, during Yontif, I found something. If anybody can identify this that he has lost, then in that case I shall be happy, you know, to return it to him. The Yim Nimso Achar HaSukkos, and if it happens to be found after Sukkos, then Sorech Lahamtin and Lachachris with Pesach Vatzeres V'Chak. Then you have to wait, in other words, to keep it and to make public proclamations on Pesach, on Shavuos, and on Sukkos. Remember, Ateres means Shavuos, and the Chag means Sukkos in the language of Gemara. The Hainu Yud Beis Chodesh, in other words, 12 months. The Shuvain Tzorch L'Hachris, and after that, you're no longer required to make an announcement, because the chances are that it has not been discovered during, that is, the owner has not come forth to try to put in a claim after 12 months, and that's it. So since we are compared by King David to a Kli Oyvei, in other words, to an object which perishes or which gets lost, so that therefore the same thing from this we learn, that the dead are not forgotten until after 12 months have passed. Okay?
This was Yerushalayim?
Yes, when they come to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, right. Asher Cholak V'Shech Yonu. Of course, I mean, you could still put public announcements too on bulletin boards and shows the way they used to. And I've seen it in Brooklyn, for example, sometimes they'll put, you know, lost this and that. Or it's people advertise in food market, you know. Asher Cholak and Sheikh Yonu, Dila'achar Shloshim Yom Haba. So Rashi explains, why did they make these two brachas? Because it was after 30 days. And this goes back to what I said last time, namely, that these brachas that we see over here are to be recited after 30 days have passed. Once you've recited them, you don't keep on doing it every time within 30 days. Okay? Mechachmos al reyov. What is the meaning of this? We praise God who has granted his wisdom to those who revere him, even as Rabbi Chanina, right, who was a very, very great sage. Okay. So with this, we will recite a Kaddish Rabbanim.
We're now on
Nun Ches, Amid Beis.
Amid Beis.
Right, halfway down.
Okay.
Yeah. We are now, let's see, approximately about two-thirds of the way down on the page, all right? Mm-hmm. You see on the side, you'll see over there, Beis.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's the line.
Okay.
Omar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. All right, so now we start with another type of a brocha, and this is for natural phenomena, okay? So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, Horoez ha-ba'akonim, Omer baruch mishanah ha-briyos. Okay. When I say natural phenomena, it could mean different things. All right. First of all, the word ba'akonim. This by itself is a peculiar word.
Ba'akonim.
But it's derived, huh?
Ba'akonim.
Ba'akonim. It's derived from the word bohak. Bohak is the word that we find in the business of leprosy, okay? So apparently this means if a person, if you see a person who is suffering from this type of bohak, he looks like a very strange person. So when you see somebody who looks not like everybody else, so there's a bracha for that. Okay? And what is the bracha? So the bracha is, see, we are, so Omer, he says the bracha Baruch Mishana Abrios. You have to say, blessed art thou, Lord, right? Mm-hmm. Who is Mishana Abrios, who makes all different kinds of human beings. Basically, so now the Gemara asks the Kasha on this, and it says, hey, we have a Tosefta that says as follows, Roes HaKushi, what if you see a Negro? In those days, I guess they didn't have
man
so much contact with them. Yes. Okay, if you see a man of color, you see an African American. Okay. Yes. V'yez ha-gichar, v'yez ha-lavkan. Now these are all funny names, okay? So we have to take a look and we see exactly what they are, alright? So, the translation, that is how Rashi explains them, they're all the way up, alright? So Kushi, we all know.
Yeah.
Alright? You see all the way up on top? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, on the 7th line,
right.
You have Kushi.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Shachar,
now, ba'akonim, I translated, you know, the person who suffers from bohak, but let's go up to the line above this, and you see, Rashi gives a taich over there, lantar yus, he says, whatever that means, and it says, ka'adashim, which means apparently that he has a skin complexion that reminds you of
lentils.
The color of lentils.
Lentils.
Okay.
Which is dark.
No.
But
no, dark
no,
red. Was. Maybe he meant American Indians, of face. So if you see an American Indian, right,
in a
Kushi, who is Shochar Harbe, as he says, somebody who is very black, okay?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Probably the reason why Rashi says Shochar Harbe is because, after all, we know that there are plenty of white people in the Mediterranean region who also look
dark,
quite
dark. Yeah.
Yes.
It's the Gifur.
And of course, look, I mean, if we want, I mean, all we have to do is take a look at the Temanim. Many of them are very dark complexed.
Right.
Yeah,
but
sure.
They're runes of a mention, you know. There's no question about that. All right. Now, what is Gichor? So he says, Adam Harbe, rouge, the lots. Right. So I'm not quite sure what is the big difference between the Ba'akonim, because as I said, the word Ba'akonim seems to be derived from the word Bohak. Okay? And Bohak, as I said, this is in the chapter of Leprosy. Take a look. It's Mahalt Mishin Nabai. We may as well take a look. See. find in the, you know, in Vayikra, Yud Gimel, where the word Bohak occurs, says Rakohain, right, that the priest shall say, Yinei Bior Besorah, and behold that in their skin, the skin of their flesh, is Beharos Kehos Levanos, which you have bright spots in the skin of the flesh, snow wives. It says Bohaku, and he said the English translation here is Tetter, T-E-T-T-E-R, which he says Old English for freckled spot.
Right.
So in other words, apparently the Ba'akonim then is somebody who has tremendous amount of freckles all over.
Is that the one where there was a white hair growing out of it?
White, black,
yellow hair.
So when Rashi says lentils here, it means as though there's lentils on his skin,
exactly.
Rather than lentil colored.
Right.
That's what I thought it was. Pigmentation.
Of course, I'd like to try to give you as much enlightenment as we can. Okay. All right. Now, what's the next one over there? Kushi, Gichor, and then the Gichor, he says, Adom Harbe Rouge Balaz. That much French I can understand. He's very red, and rouge, of course, is red. Okay. So he's red skin. Okay.
Or he uses French in the Gemara.
Listen, Rashi, you know, was a Frenchman after all. Yeah. The Yes Alafkan, what is Alafkan? So he tells us, Alafkan is someone who is love on Yosef Midai. Apparently, somebody. Who's whiter than normal. Extremely light complected or something. Maybe like an albino or something. Maybe that's what he meant. Yes. The yes, hakipeach. And the question is, what is hakipeach? So he says, hakipeach, he says, it's beten godol, betocho v'yon, yereis komaso, yekupachas. Okay, so one explanation he gives is that this person has a great big pot belly. Okay, and he says that because he's so fat, this is the reason why. So as a result, it seems that nireis kemeson mekupachas. It seems that his height has been shortened because all that you see on him
is
the pot belly that's sticking out over there. Okay, so if you see that, so that's one explanation. But then he says. Loshanachir, another explanation what the word is. Kipeach, he says, another explanation is that he's Oroch Harbe, he's very, very long. Upartzufo Shamut Uvolet. But his face is sort of, it seems to be not clear, and at the same time, it seems to be projecting too much. The Mechora Habe, because he is, ugly. Obviously, I mean, the people that we're talking about over here, remember, and for the Brocha Mishana Abrios, is for people who look very much not in the ordinary, okay?
Like an elephant.
There's something wrong with them, okay? Either the complexion, or if we take Rashi's first explanation over here, that he's so pot-bellied that's all that you see. You know, he's, what are they used to have that song or something? About somebody who's Mr. What the heck?
5x5.
5x5, right. Yeah, that's what it was. Very good. V'yes ha-nanos. Nanos means a dwarf. This one we know.
A what?
A dwarf. Because this word occurs lots of times. Okay? And v'yes ha-darnikus.
Ha-darnikus.
What are ha-darnikus? So, according to Rashi, Hadarnikus means Rudas.
Rudas.
Which means whatever it means.
He said that before, Rudas. We couldn't make
something about his mouth.
No, he says, Loshon Acher, another explanation as to what the word might mean is Pivokun. He has a crooked mouth.
Crooked mouth.
A crooked mouth. But frankly, I think that the word Hadarnikus is something else. You see, the word it seems to be derived from the Greek word. It's nice to know a little Greek once in a while. Which means somebody who suffers from what we call dropsy.
Oh.
Because according to the original theory, you know, back in the olden times, the physicians, they felt that they had too much fluid or something in the body or something like that. So this, to me, is possibly a better explanation than the second.
Barnacles.
Right. But the only thing is, I'm not quite sure what Rashi means by this Gudas over here.
Mm.
He knew what it meant, but I don't.
I'm sure you'll find out.
So that's why I'm inclined to feel that my explanation, and, you know, when it's Greek, you know, the word Hidar in Greek is the word for water. This is why you have, for example, hydrogen.
I see.
Right. So it
would be Rodage.
Rodage.
I don't say no,
but I'm not quite sure what Rashi means by that. You know, sometimes the French is obvious, but other times the French is not obvious. Of course, the language has changed.
You think
this is
a French word?
I mean, in the 1,000 years or so that have passed since Rashi wrote this, the French language has undergone change.
So Rudas is, you think, a French word?
Well, definitely. He's using French.
Uh-huh.
In the same
most
way
of the
Rouge
time
was,
that you see...
See how Rouge was spelled
right,
there?
Right.
Up above?
Yes.
The Shin with the...
The Shin is like an S, according to Rashi. Rashi takes it like an S.
I see.
So it's not necessarily Rudas, it could be Rudei or something like that.
But the way the Rouge was spelled, with the Shin and then those
right,
two,
right,
that, that
right,
kind
right,
of quotation
correct,
marks.
Right, there,
that,
I read that, it as Rouge, because
yeah,
that's the modern pronunciation.
It could be Rus, couldn't it? Rus.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yes, because, for example, the Italian equivalent...
Rus.
Or red is rosso.
Mm-hmm. Like russet.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Right. The same
so
thing. So it's also red, reddish. And so
mm.
Yeah. Yes.
What, the word akul is also curved, or am I ever getting this wrong?
Akul?
Akul? No, akul. Is that
no,
curved?
No, no.
What am I thinking of?
No. The word means normally to be digested or something like that.
Okay, akum is curved or
that's
crooked.
Right.
Okay, then
correct,
that's what it is. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, akum.
Omer, again, they say that Baruch Baruch Mishan is all right. So remember, the first one was a Gemara that Rabbi Yishev ben Levi said. Now, you know, they bring in the fact that it's not just, you know, the people who are the Ba'akonim, but all these other things also, you say the same Baruch Baruch Mishan Sabiris, it's 1-7. Es HaKiteya, V'yes HaSumo, V'yes Pesuyi HaRosh, V'yes HaChigel, V'yes HaMut Yishchin, V'yes HaBa'akonim, Omer Dynamis. This is the reason why they object, because here, Ba'akonim is listed for a different Baruch, and not for the Baruch Baruch Mishan HaBriyos. Okay? Alright, now let's again define what are these things. Alright, so now they quote another Mishnah, okay, or another to accept it to be more correct. All right. So the question is, first of all, what is Kiteya? Kiteya is somebody who has a part of his body cut off, particularly, let's say, someone who has a leg cut off or
amputated.
Something like that.
Amputated.
Yeah. Right, okay. The yes hasumo, somebody who is blind. Okay? The yes pesuyei harosh. Now the question is, what is pesuyei harosh? This we're not altogether certain exactly what it means. But first we'll take a look at Rashi, and then we'll take a look at another possibility. Okay?
What's the asterisk mean?
Pesuyei harosh. You see that?
What does the asterisk mean?
The asterisk?
Yeah.
Sometimes asterisk means, look, take a look, there's an additional note someplace in the margin, upstairs, downstairs,
mm-hmm,
down below.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Where is it?
Yeah,
the Luge. It's the left for Ketia.
Yeah. All right, now...
Ketia.
So, Ketia, let's say, She Nikta'u... Now, first of all, we have Psuya Rosh, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, Psuya Rosh, what is that? It says, Sa'aro Kinimtov, Kol Sa'aro Nabuk Zebezeh, which means that it seems that his hair is all messed up, and they all stick together, and Rashi calls this a condition that says, Altsvir, for Rosh. So, that's the way he understands it. However, if we take a look right now on the left-hand column, down below, you see where the asterisk is, Pierre Roche.
Mm-hmm.
So there he says, Perush, according to this note, which is the Mesoras Hashas, so he says, it means, Misha Ein Roshos Galgal, El Rechobo. Okay? He says, this means, means a person whose head is not round, but rather it's wide. Now, what does he mean by that? I'm not 100% sure, unless he means maybe something like somebody who suffers from hydrocephalism or something.
Or
like
maybe
that.
They're talking about these Mongolian kids who usually have large heads.
Perhaps. Yeah, that may be it. All right, something anyway, where obviously it's not a good condition.
Where is this?
Right on the left.
You see where it says Roche?
I'm sorry.
All the way over on the left.
Yeah.
There's in the brackets over there, you see?
Oh, okay.
It says, Perish Mishen Moshe Sagalka. It says a person whose head is not round, Ila Rechoba, but rather it is white.
Yeah.
And then he quotes the source, namely the Oroch. The Oroch, I'll have you know what it is. The Oroch is the earliest dictionary of the Talmud.
Oh, really?
That was ever written. It goes back to about the 800s or the 900s. Yeah. I would say about the beginning of the 900s or the late 800s, okay? Which will give you an idea. I mean, it's more than 1,200 years old. And then Erech Pesi, which means that you are to look in the heading, subheading of Pesi. In other words, the Oroch grouped words, you know, according to their root ideas. Okay?
Like a thesaurus.
Right, exactly. As I say, this is actually the first dictionary I've ever seen. And it goes back, you know.
You mean they still publish one?
They will republish it in the modern editions, yes. It still is the basis of a great deal of our knowledge of what the words mean. Of course, I mean, we can have exceptions. For example, in our day, relatively speaking, you have a man by the name of Jasper. Roughly about 70, 80 years ago or so, he published a dictionary of the Talmud. Okay? Now, he of course had to rely a great deal upon the Oroch, but he also had to rely upon other people, you know, who had come up with other explanations and other attempts at making dictionaries of the Talmud before him. And for some reason or other, Jastrow's dictionary happened to become the most popular as far as the dictionary of the Talmud is concerned.
Jastrow.
So that's the one that I have in the house, for example, or that we have
here. Inherit the Wind, or whatever it is, one of those, not the Inherit the Wind, one of the fictitious war stories was there.
Oh, I know what you mean.
But anyway.
Pug Henry.
Yes, Pug Henry, right.
Nieces
exactly.
Lance.
I forgot the name of the book.
I know what it is.
Okay. Now, what is the
Winds of War?
Winds of War, right.
We're going into current fiction
the
here.
Winds of War, you mean by Herman Wouk?
Right. That's, you see, Wouk, there would be a connection with Jastrow. Sure, you're right.
Oh, yeah, right. He had the old man over there was Jastrow.
Right.
Yeah.
And the heroine, I think, was his niece or something.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Once upon a time, I read it.
Yeah, a long time ago, too.
Right. The Yesachiger. Chiger is somebody who is lame, okay? This is a person who is afflicted with leprosy, and it's obvious, okay? Mukishchin. And the Yesa Ba'akonim, and also the Ba'akonim.
Ba'akonim again.
Yeah. So, if you see them, according to the Tosefin, you say Omer, you say Boruch Dayan Emes. Right?
Oh, really?
Right? Which, of course, is the bracha that we make when we hear terrible news.
Yeah.
Or if we see, you know, something that, unfortunately, you know, we feel a great deal of sympathy for, and we have to accept the Rabbeinu Shlomo's judgment. So they say, Lo Kasha, says there's no contradiction between the first one concerning Ba'akonim, who said, you say Baruch Mishana Abrios, as compared to the last one, where it is Baruch Dayan Emes. Why? He says, Homime Eimo, Ho Boso Di Yisyali. He says, in the one case, in other words, the case where you say Baruch Mishana Abrios, this is where he was born already this way. Literally, out of his mother's womb, he came out this way.
Genetically.
Right. It was genetic. Whereas, the other case, we say, Baruch Dino Emes, this is a case after this condition arose after he had already been born and everything else, and only came, in other words, at a later stage in life.
So yeah, they had to cut a limb off, God forbid, or something.
Whatever
like
may
that,
be,
yeah.
Exactly. So you say so in that case, that's what you say, Vortainemus. Dekonama, and then the Gemara says, and look very carefully at the difference. Dekotone, because we've learned, Dumyo Dekiteya, Shmamino. It says, it looks as if it had been cut off, as if it's lamented. So Shmamino, from this we see that you make that distinction. Tonu Rabbonin, our sages learned, and this to a certain extent we had on the previous page as well, that Koroa Pil, if you see an elephant, Kof, a monkey, Kipov, and Kipov at the time when we had it before, we learned that Kipov, well, there was a question, is it some kind of a monkey or what is it? Now, Rashi gives a different translation over here for Kipov, and let's see what Rashi says, okay? Kipov, he says, oh, Shekoran Voltaire.
Oh.
Voltaire.
V'yeshlo l'soso s'lechayayim ka'on. Says, this is a certain bird that they call a Voltaire, which to me looks like the word vulture, frankly.
Vulture.
This is what I think that it's supposed to be. Okay? And he says, v'yeshlo l'soso s'lechayayim, and it has cheeks and this area, and the sauces, and this, and so on, that look like a man.
Hmm.
It's misshapen. I don't know, they say that owls, for example, look like misshapen people, or something like that.
True.
So, but Rashi says that they call it a Voltaire, and I'm sure they meant like vulture. Yeah. All right. At any rate, if these birds have an argument, please, I hope that they don't have the argument with me. Rashi can take care of himself. Okay. All right, so if you see an elephant, right? Or if you see, let's see, or monkey, or this, whatever it may be. So Omer, he makes the bracha, Baruch Mishanes Habriyos, okay? Blessed be God, you know, who makes his creatures in all shapes and sizes, etc., etc.
Is there a difference between Mishana Habriyos and Mishana Es Habriyos?
Not really. Not really. I don't see what the difference is. They can both be justified. I mean, technically, there is a grammatical difference between.
Yeah, but I mean, they both.
If you say Baruch Mishane Habriyos, then really I should read it not as Mishaneh HaBriyos, but Mishaneh HaBriyos. Because what it means is, blessed be he who is the one who the maker different of his creatures, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the second case, Baruch Mishaneh Es HaBriyos, this is the direct option. Blessed be God, you know, who makes all kinds of creatures.
But it connotes the same brother.
Yeah, obviously, it's about the same thing.
When you say peel cope, you would mean exotic animals? Is that what?
Yeah,
as opposed
of
to
specific, no question,
a rhinoceros.
Right.
Then, okay.
Yeah, right, absolutely. Even though they're not mentioned, but.
You see it, rather, rhinoceros run like hell.
Right.
You'll save brother later.
We need a broken out for dinosaurs.
Well, the only thing is this. Remember that we're talking, we learned that with these brachas, it's only after 30 days. If you haven't seen them in 30 days.
Oh, I see.
Okay? So, for example, if you would go to the zoo every day, you wouldn't have to. Or once you made the bracha for one, you don't really have to go and keep on making the brachas all over the lot.
Yeah, you'd be saying brachas all day
one
long.
One bracha you have in the mind that it should be
this is an indirect way to be humorous and say a bracha that applies to these animals, to say it to a person. You call them a monkey. Like in the class of a monkey.
Right. Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle. Remember? Raw brios tovos. While on the other hand, if you see beautiful creatures, right?
Now we're talking.
The ilonos tovos and beautiful trees. Omer, then the bracha that you make is Boruch Shekocha Lo Yolamo. Blessed be God, who that These things exist in his world.
Now, these brachas, these are not the full bracha, just...
These are all meant to be Baruch Ato Ad Hashem and the Kingdom of Elohim.
Oh, they're all meant to be that way.
Right, these are all meant to be that way. Yeah. And if we would take a look, let's say, and let's take a look at our favorite art school and see. He has several of them over there. Doesn't have them all, but he has quite a few of them. Because he based it, you know, upon the chapter that we're learning right now.
The art school, I find it very, very helpful.
Oh yeah, I like it. I feel that everybody should really have an art school that they even can refer to.
When you have time to read the explanations down below, it's very, very illuminating.
Well, let's see, let's find again where the different brachas are.
You have one?
No, I don't.
Birchos Hanenin, etc., etc. All right, 224.
If you get this size, it's easy to read. If you're using it for reading and reference, rather than I was thinking maybe I'd get them more.
Art scroll, of course, begins with first many of these brachas that we've already had, like Nitilas Yadayim, Hamotzi, and so on and so forth, and, you know, Berin Mizonas, Berin Piagofen, etc., etc., and also Birchos Areach, blessings that you make when you smell, and that we had earlier in the the previous chapter, if you remember. As for example, Bari Mini Misamim and Bari Atse Misamim, you know, the difference between if you smell perfume or spices or something like that, as compared to, let's say, smelling fragrant shrubs and trees or their flowers like roses and so on. Or if you smell fragrant herbs or grasses or flowers, then it's Bari Isve Misamim. Of course, we learned that if you say Bari Mini Misamim, actually you can be Yetzir with all of these things. It's just the difference at that time we learned between Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you must be specific as compared to the rabbis who said that you're Yotze if you're not that specific, but you know, simply you have the general category correct. Okay? And then there's a bracha over here mentioned upon smelling fragrant edible fruit or nuts, where the bracha concludes, Hanosi Meyachtov Aperos. All right. Now, the mitzvahs, of course, that we know, like challah and so on and so forth. Alright, then he has what he calls Birchos Reiva Shmiya, brachos that you recite for seeing things or for hearing things. As for example, the lightning which we already had, the thunder which we already had, the rainbow in the sky, I think we had that already too, didn't we?
No,
we didn't have that yet?
Then
so we'll have it. And then if you see, you know, experience an earthquake or you see a comet and so on, right? When you see the ocean, right, for the first time in 30 days, all right, now he has. Upon seeing exceptionally beautiful people, tree or fields, okay? Upon seeing exceptionally strange looking people or animals, okay?
Okay. How do they turn out?
No,
that's Mishana, it's not Mishana Esabrios in this.
Right, Mishana Habrios, that's all.
The
way I read it to begin with, right, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, if you see an outstanding secular scholar, if you see an outstanding Talmudic scholar, if you see a king and so on, he has these different...
Again, only in more than 30 days, unless...
Right. The idea being that, you know, it has 30 days after the last, since the last time that
you saw that,
because otherwise, if you see it all the time,
it's a brothel of a tale.
At any rate, there's no need for it. Yes.
Would it be appropriate to see for a great athlete or a great dancer?
No, it's not, because I wouldn't say that either. It's a great chokhmah, that, you know, great wisdom. Artistry is fine, it's only great artistry, but I wouldn't say that artistry necessarily is chokhmah.
It's mental endowment then.
Mental endowment, right? Or by virtue of position, as for example, a king, president.
How would you handle two twins, like say, beautiful people?
No, one bracha.
One bracha.
Say, I mean, both of you guys.
If we take someone like Michael Jordan, and I'm serious, so he's an extraordinary athlete, and isn't it remarkable that people like that exist?
Yeah, it's remarkable, but I say, woe unto the generation that pays Michael Jordan millions and millions of dollars
for the fact
that he can dunk better than somebody else. and you know, they neglect those people who devote themselves to study and or to thought, philosophy, whatever it may be, and trying to do something as well, or devoting themselves to science.
The distortion of
that, right?
It's the wrong set of values,
exactly.
In its category.
But if,
yeah,
if you're admiring someone's physical
he wants
beauty,
to climb a rock up.
If you praise someone,
excuse me,
physical,
the balls are finished, right? I mean, I lost track.
I think it's going on.
Four games. I assume that the Bulls have already won 3.
No,
2-1.
2-1.
No, yeah. Now, the Mishnah said that if you see Zikin, so the question is, what are Zikin? My Zikin. What are Zikin? So here there's a difference of opinion. Omar Shmuel, Shmuel says, it's Kochwa Dishavi, which means that in the opinion of Shmuel, the word Zikin refers to comets. Literally a star with a tail to it, you know. Okay? The Yomar Shmuel, and Shmuel said, Nehirinli, a very famous statement, by the way, made about Shmuel. He says, Nehirinli Shvili Dishmayo, Kishavili Vinaharda.
Right, there's familiar.
The courses of the sky, in other words, how the stars, the planets, everything right. move around, are as clear to me, he says, even as the paths or the streets of Nahada. That's how
right.
familiar
right.
I am.
Right. Nahada. Nahada. Yeah, I think we had that before.
Yeah, this is very famous.
Yeah.
So Shmuel was he's the head of a Rav in
he was a guy who didn't
know. I mean, the yeshiva,
Nahar.
Okay,
right.
And he was supposedly a famous astronomer also, correct?
Right, exactly. So he says, I know, right, the paths of the sky, in other words, the courses of the stars and so on and so forth, and the planets, Kishvili Nahar, even as I know my own streets in Nahar. Levar, and Levar means except for, Mekopo de Shalini, except for a comet. That I don't know, right? The Loya Dala Maiden. I don't know, you know, what it's all about. Because for that, as we know, it's erratic. I mean, why does it come back once in 70 years, maybe, or something like that?
Interesting. This
right?
Depends on its course.
Right. So that he had no explanation for. Ugemire, and then he says something else. And this deals with ancient astronomy. He says, we have a tradition, the Le'ovar Kislo, right, that it never passes by Kislo. Now the question is, what is Kislo? Kislo is the name of one of the constellations. Kislo, he says, that's Ksil. Alright, so now you know, what is Ksil? So some say that Ksil means like Pleiades. It never passes by Pleiades.
Mm-hmm.
Others say maybe it's Orion, okay?
Thank you,
Vic. Right. Yeah. You're welcome. The word Kasil is found in the Nevi'im. Amos refers to Osh, Kasil, and so on. Now Osh we can think about a little bit easier. Alright. So it says that this comet never passes or never goes as far as the Pleiades. The Yehovah Kislot, because if it ever would pass it, then Chorav Alma, then the world would be destroyed. So now they say the Ork of Hazina, but don't we see the Obad Zibay that its light does pass by? So he says, Hu de Obar, U Mischate ki de Obar. He says, well, it passes, but it only seems as it passes. In other words, he says that it's not really passing by because we know that the world would be destroyed, okay? But, it seems like it. Okay. It says, yeah, Rok was in the Ovar, Zivei, the Ovar that does pass, so he says, Zivei who the Ovar, right? Yes, it's only the light of it, the brilliance of it, which passes by Xil, and Mischazek in the Ovar, evil. And it seems as if, you know, this comet itself had gone by, but in reality it never did. Okay, it's only the light that we see, but not the actual comet itself. Rav Huna Borei Rav Yeshua Omar, he said that Bilam Hu Dimikora. says there is, it's like a curtain which gets torn, Dinagalgel Umerse Nehorda Rekia. So that, therefore, it seems to us that we see the light of heaven. It's like going through, you know, like a curtain is torn apart, so that light penetrates the curtain. Okay, and that's what it seems to us like. Rav Ashi Omar? Rav Ashi says, no, it's not a comment, it says, Kochwabu, it says it is actually a star, the Oka Mahai Kiso, the Kisla, which he says was actually uprooted from one side of this Pleiades, the Chazile Chavre Mehach Kiso, and we see its pal or its companion star on the other side. Umibois, and as a result you have trembling and it seems as though it had gone by. Alright, man, as I say, so this is ancient astronomy.
Astronomical.
I don't particularly claim to be an expert in ancient astronomy, but it's interesting to see, I mean, that they were interested in these things and they each tried to define exactly what it meant.
About the year 300 or so, right? I would say, right? 300 BC?
Yeah.
I mean,
No. Actually, it was earlier than that, because these were the Talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. So, in other words, they were already there until the year 200.
These were Tanaim. I didn't realize
right.
that.
They were like the last of the Tanaim and the first of the Amorite.
Oh, okay, because
they were in a transition.
That's what's all right. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. See?
Yeah.
So this,
yeah. Before you leave, David.
Right. About time.
About next week. Next week we have the following problem. You know that there's the congregational meeting, the annual congregational meeting, is set for 7:30. Now, do you want to come at 7 o'clock and learn at least a little bit before the meeting?
What time
do you think?
Meeting?
At 7:30, it's called. Or do you want to skip it next week?
Oh. I'm not going to the meeting, so it doesn't make any difference to me.
What would you prefer?
I don't like to skip, if possible. I'd rather keep it up, even if we don't have as much time. But I'd rather,
Is it plausible to start earlier?
Probably, having dinner and coming back at 12.
6:30.
Well,
6:30 at
6:30 to 7:30. We who are retired have no problem.
Next week I'll be retired.
May or may not.
School is out.
Oh.
But
that really is a retirement.
If you wanted to try to meet her at 6:45 next week. So at least we'll try to get 3/4 of an hour.
Sure.
All right?
Yeah.
Fine. Okay. So we'll have to remember that.
You come at 7. Right.
When you come to Minyan, you'll get reminded.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Good luck with the principal.
Take a good guy.
Right. One of our people, right?
Finalized 2 years of efforts.
Yeah. Okay. Shmuel Romney. Now, Shmuel brought in two different psukim which seem to contradict each other. Okay? Rami means that you always oppose one with another. Okay? So, Ksiv, he says, one pasuk says, Ose Osh Ksil Uchima, right? That God is the creator or the maker of Osh. Osh they translate as the bear. Now, of course, what do they mean by the bear?
The constellation.
The constellation, right, which is, what they call
Ursa.
Like, Ursa, right. In other words, Ursa Minor, Ursa Major, Ursa Minor. It's probably Ursa Major, okay? You know, the one which has the North Star in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Kisil, which we translate as Pleiades Vachimo, which may be Orion or something like that. As I say, I don't remember now which one is the Orion and which one is the Pleiades, okay? Well, it's one or the other. Okay.
Do they have literal translations?
Where is this pasuk from?
In the book of Amos.
This is the Amos book that you were talking about, yeah.
The book of Amos, so quotation. Let's see if we have a Bible on it.
Translations of these terms, I mean, if it's an archer or a carpenter or something like that, you don't know a literal translation for them. In the same way that you say Ush is a bear.
Yeah, well, Osh, as I say, I mean, they take that as the sense of being the, you know, the gate, the dipper, the big dipper, okay?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which is, of course, what we call Ursa Major, right? And as I say, take your pick as to which one is Orion and which one is Pleiades, okay? Yeah, Usir. And another pasuk says also, says Oseh Kimo Usir, right? That God makes Orion and the Pleiades. So the question is, why isn't the bear there? Okay, or Ketsa? How does it happen? So he says Il Mole Chamo Shel Ksir, Lo Niskayeb Elam Neitzino Shel Kimo. He says, why are the two of them paired together? So it says, the reason being, because if it weren't for the warmth that we have from Ksil, the world would not be able to exist because of the cold that comes forth from Kimo. For Yomole Tzino Shel Kimo, and if it weren't for the cold that comes out of Kimo, then no is Kayim Oilo Bipnei Chamo Shel Ksil, then the world would not be able to exist because of the heat generated by Ksil. So that, in other words, the two of them counteract each other, one moderating the temperature of the other so that the world could exist. Ugemire, and we have learned, Ilav Uktso de Akrava, de Manach bet Nohor, de Nur, den Kolman de Havet Riko le Akrava lo Havachai. He says, if it weren't for the tail of the scorpion, because again, this is the constellation Scorpion, okay, which is dipped in a river of light, then whoever would be commander have tricole akraba lo havachaya, then whoever would be bitten by a scorpion would not be able to live. In other words, the scorpion constellation in the sky affects, you know, what happens to a person on earth if he happens to be bitten by a scorpion. It's what saves him from death. Okay. And therefore this explains what the Rabbeinu Shalom said to Job. He says, Hatikshar ma'adanos kimo moshchos ksil tifateya. He says, can you tie the bonds that tie Kimo, or literally the ropes that pull on Ksil, can you loosen them? In other words, only God, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, can make the constellations behave in the way that they should behave. And that's how human beings are affected by them. But no human being, including a Job, can do it. My Kimo. So now another question. So what is Kimo? So he says, Omar Shmuel. Shmuel says, it's Kemeo Kachme. He says that it has the energy like 100 stars. Amile de Bechanfe, Yamre Lord Mevadra. Some say that it is if you take them together, and others say if you scatter them. In other words, there's a difference of opinion as to whether when we say that like 100 stars, does it mean like 100 stars put together, or does it mean 100 stars spread out?
This would suggest that Kima is one star then, rather than the constellation.
No, it's a constellation. Well,
I mean, if they're saying it's compared to 100 stars, then.
Yeah. According to Rashi, he says Kemeo Kachve. He says Yesh bein haKochavim shel Kima. It says that there are actually, Kima has 100 different stars, okay, and they are the ones that provide the strength or the power that Kima has. Alright, as I say, you know, there are different traditions over here about it. The halacha doesn't depend upon
this astronomical discussion.
Astrological,
but it's interesting from the point of view of the fact that they were very observant of what was going on in the world of nature all about them, and so on and so forth. and they didn't simply have their heads in the books all the time, that they also took a look at the world, because they recognized that the world itself was created by God, and therefore we should admire God's creation in this universe. My Osh, what is Osh? I'm a Rabbi Huda, Yuta. He says it's Yuta. So my Yuta, so what's Yuta? So Amrei Lo, some say it is Zanav Tole, that it is the tail of Tole. Tole is the lamb. I guess that's what they mean by Aries. The Amrei Lo, and there are others who say that it's Reisha the Eglon, that it is instead the head of Eglon. Now the question is, what is Eglon over here? So probably Eglon that they're talking about over here is Taurus. How do I know? Because that's what Rashi says.
Well, Eglon is a calf.
Eglon, right?
Yeah.
Right, a calf, cow, right.
Take a Eglon as well. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yuta, right, he says Uta Amileva is the Kaima Biznovta. Says the one that says that it's the, we said before, the tail of the lamb or Aries, as I say, the Amile, the Kaima Bereshak, another say same. And then he says Reshon Eglo, he says, Rosho Shel Eagle, right? The head of the eagle, the Hainu Mazal Shor, and this is the constellation Shor. Shor, as I say, of course, in Latin it would be Taurus. The bull, okay, or the ox. And he says, furthermore, that this seems to follow after the tail of the Tole, you know, the varies. So Rosh Hashor, he says, the head of Taurus is Samach Lezonov Tole, it's close to the tail of the Aries. Shekain Haseda Tole Shor Tomin. He says the constellations go in this order. First you have Aries, Tole, right? Literally it means the lamb. Then Shor, Taurus, the ox, right? And finally Ta'omim. Ta'omim is what we call twins, or the what's
Gemini.
The
Gemini.
Twins, Gemini, exactly. Okay? So it goes in that particular order. Umistabra, and the Gemara says on the last line over there. And you know, it makes sense to say it's Kaman Oma Zonov Tole. He says it's logical to say that it means that it's in accordance with the opinion of the one who said that it is the tail of Aries. Desiv, because it's written the Ayish Alboneo Tenochen, that the bear weeps over its children and has to be comforted. Okay. Again, this is a pasuk in Job.
Job.
Right, okay. So Alma Chasera, right, the fact that it weeps over its child means that therefore there's something missing from this, right, from the constellation. And therefore it seems like Kitarpa the Torah. It seems like something where